We read to the end of the fifth parak, Sif Dal on page Chaf Ches, and we just touched upon one of the biggest sugyas in all of Torah, in all of Yiddishkeit, which is the Oisiyas of Ya'alav Beis. And it's an Indian which is without end. But we need to just familiarize ourselves with some of the Yisaidis. So we're not going to spend that long, maybe a few weeks, trying to understand what Rav Kook is saying here about the Oisiyas of Torah, the letters of Torah. We learned Dalet. It would be kedai to take 5 minutes to run through it quickly, just to get back into the sugya, to get back into the inyan, and then we're going to learn that piece of the Tzemach Tzedek, and Mishem next week we're going to learn a little bit more to fill in from the Sfar Makadashim, to understand what's going on. So since it's already been a while from before Yom Tov, so it's Kedai Techasas to take a look on page Chav Ches. So Rav Kook begins with what appears to us to be a strange comment from the Tikkun Ezra. Susei Eish in an Aslan Beraisa. The letters of Torah are called horses of fire. Susei Eish in an Aslan Beraisa. The Masha, I'm just chazring, the Masha ain't her other masing, I'm a karayin, the Kaycha Atzmi. There are things that a person traveling on his own through Torah, trying to make his way through Torah, there are things that on his own, ain't her other masing, I'm a karayin, the Kaycha Atzmi. He doesn't get. He doesn't understand. Using the limitations, or being subjected to the limitations of his own intellect, and he's trying to make his way through Torah, he meets up with an idea, with a concept, whether it's in Nigla or Nista, whatever it is, but he meets up with this concept, and he doesn't get it. In other words, he doesn't have the kaychus, to comprehend this concept. That doesn't mean that all is lost. It doesn't mean that it's finished. So Kook says, "Mizgadol kayach hayitzira aydei chiburo im ha'aish shabetayra." What does he do? He jumps onto his horse. He's trying to get someplace. He's not getting there. He's doing that with his own feet, with his own legs. He can't get there. So he jumps onto his horse. That's the letter. The letters of the Aleph Beis. By attaching himself to the Oisiyas of the Torah, to the letters of the Torah. We're going to learn more, of course, what this means. Now he was limited. He was only able to run, to move at a certain speed. He was only able to get to a certain distance by the kayach of his own intellect. He could only get a certain distance. So the letters of Torah, the letters of the Aleph Beis, are called Susei Eish, horses of fire. And he's able by making use, we'll see how, of the letters of the Aleph Beis, by connecting and attaching himself to the letters of the Aleph Beis, he's v'oila habi yosem ekoichai. Now that he's hopped onto the horse, he's able to go much further. He's able to get much further in understanding this concept than he would have using his own ability to travel through this sugya, this subject of learning. So now he's not limited to the slow pace of a person walking or running, but he's able to get onto the horse. Kim hears on the sea, but choyna aydeh rechav. Now he has a rechav. He has a vehicle. He has transportation. The Oisiyas are transportation. Super duper transportation. depending upon the ability of that person to stay focused on the Isis, that's how fast, that's how powerful the trip will be. But the Isis are Susei Esh. Yesh Ragli. There are those who move at their own pace. Ragli means by foot, or like infantry. There are those who move at their own pace. That means that their learning is limited or restricted to the borders of their own intellectual capacity, and therefore they travel through Torah at that pace, ragli, by foot, which is a chash of a thing. It's the amelus that a Jew has in Torah, the toil, how he harvests in learning, with his kaiches, it's a tremendous thing. That's the deeper meaning of him. B'chuk kaisai, what? Teileichu. B'chuk kaisai, teileichu. And mitzvahs, Torah mitzvahs, is the world of halacha. Halachas, halichas olam lai. Al-tikri halacha, halichas olam lai. It's a journey that one takes through the course of his lifetime. Each person, according to his kaiches, is one of those in the infantry of Hashem's army, and he is machazik himself, and he puts on a comfortable pair of sneakers and shoes, and he plows his way through. He plows his way through Torah mitzvahs. That's called halicha. B'chukaisai teleichu. Yesh ragli. That's by foot. So the person goes in that way. B'derech klal, he's using his own mind and his own intellect. He's not being helped along the way by the letters of Torah. He's focused on the concept that the letters are conveying, but not the letters themselves. Then you have a yid that he doesn't have. It could be this, obviously, because we're talking about the same person, different times in his learning, different times in his life, which Rav Kook will speak about the third guy. But then you have a person, yesh mi she'ein b'kach aleches ragli. He doesn't have the kaiches. He's just not able to move forward. He's not able to walk through Torah. He's limited in that way. Again, it doesn't mean somebody that's chas v'shalom doesn't have any seichel, but in this gemara, in this particular sugyan, whatever it is that he's learning, she'im v'krach aleches ragli, v'haylech al asfan deraisa. We always saw through the years those who grew up with yidden like this, the great love and attachment that simple Jews had to the letters of the olive days. To the letters of the olive days, meaning, on a very basic level, the ability of those Yidden, of those Jews, to spend hours and hours saying Tehillim. Just being in the world of the olive days. And even you have the Moshel by the Svadisha, that they have amongst them, there are Hanhagas to say shtick with pieces from the Zohar Kodesh and the Lunzai that they don't understand, but they say the Isis. And I'm not going now into Hilchos Talmud Torah. That's not what we're talking about. Is it a din in Talmud Torah? Is it not the kind of mitzvah of Talmud Torah? That's not for now. But there were simple Jews who were very, very attached to the Isis of Torah, who because of the constraints of time or upbringing or whatever else might be, were not so successful in walking through with their kaiches, through a deeper understanding of Torah. But they knew how to ride horses. They knew how to get onto a horse and connect deeply to the Isis of the olive base. V'harlech yesh mishem akarech lelech zragli v'harlech ha'asim v'der ha'isa gam v'aisa minyanim shem shuta. There's some people, that even in those areas of Torah that are not Zohar, that are not complicated, but certain areas of Torah that are Poshut, and that they could understand, and that one can comprehend, and a healthy person can walk through, can make his way through these parts of Torah. Nevertheless, there are those people that even in this regard, they travel along with the help of the Susei Eish, the horses of fire, the Isis. Then you have what would appear to be the most balanced way of living. That a person, this person, wherever he's able to walk, wherever he's able to go on his own, he goes. And he uses the letters of Torah, not because of his weakness. He's able to go. He has a tremendous power of concentration and understanding, and he has the ability to go far. But he also uses the Asfan Derais. He also uses the letters of the Aleph Beis. But not from a point of weakness. Not due to a weakness that he has no choice and he has to take a ride. Not because of that. So why does he go on the horse? So Rav Kook says, Kim kereichev al sus lekoved, like Mordechai HaYehudi on the horse. Mordechai didn't need the horse to get anywhere. Mordechai didn't need the horse to get any place. Well, what was the meaning of Mordechai being put on the horse? Kovet. It's the meaning of kovet. Like a motorcade. Right? So here, the involvement with the Isis or the use of the letters of Torah is not because he can't get someplace. It's because the letters are in this case the motorcade or the sus lekoved, like Mordechai. In other words, he understands the Gemara. He understands Rashi. He understands Tosis. He understands what he's learning or what she's learning. There's understanding. There doesn't have to be a dependence on the Isis. And still, at the end of the day, there's nothing that's more wonderful than grabbing a horse and going onto that horse. Not in order to understand what this means, but La'ater means to crown, to uncrown that which he's learning, to put a crown on the places, to put a crown on the Gemara, to put a crown on that piece of Medrash or Tanakh, whatever it is, to uncrown. What does that mean? That there's a certain sublime and deeper beauty that even though this person is very, very bright and has the has the ability to move fast and far using his own mind, but sof kol sof, even Moshe Rabbeinu and his madrega and great, great Talmid Chacham are not in a place beyond this world. They're the greatest you could be in this world, but not beyond this world. So the Isis is still away through the Isis. Rav Kook says, here it's not in order for me to understand the meaning. Here it's in order for there to be a very beautiful embroidery, like an embroidery on the meaning. You understand? La'atel, like a crown. In other words, that which is beyond what I was able to understand, which I can reach through the, which is of course infinite, because the Torah is Torah Hashem, which the person can reach also only by means of additional transportation, which is the Isis. We don't know what that means yet, the Isis. But this transportation is for that person, it's not to get somewhere, but it's like Mordechai HaYehudi. Mordechai HaYehudi, Mi Ha'ish Asher HaMelech Chafetz B'Yikarim. And because of that, the king himself says that take the sus and take Mordechai and ride him on the horse, meaning that now this person's understanding of Torah is elevated through the Isis, through the letters, is elevated to a level, to a place beyond where he was able to get, even though he didn't need the horse to understand what he was learning. He was able to understand. But the crowns of learning, just like the letters that have crowns. You can have a letter without a crown, but what would the Sefer Torah look like without the crowns? And you even feel that in the Sichas Chulin of the Talmud Chacham. I was low alone with a Shiva yesterday, and there was a big Talmud Chacham that came, and he was talking. And every single thing that he was saying had crowns. It's very hard to describe, but when you're there, you know that. Even though he's saying the same piece of Torah that you learned or that you read, that he's explaining something, but it's just different. It has crowns. You would have said, I would have said the same Vart, or the same Chizik, whatever it was. But when he says it, when this Talmud Chacham is saying it, it just had a certain royalty to it. It had something extra embroidered. And that comes from something which is beyond just mere comprehension. It's the world of the Isis. Now, he says, that's what it means. Kidei la'ata yoyser esenyon. So that same Taisus, he understood, but now the Taisus becomes encrowned. The same Gemara, the same Medrash, the same piece of Torah, but now it's encrowned. Kidei la'ata yoyser esenyon, alirka v'mokam she'iev shalova shama ayde kar ha'atzmai. Or, he uses the transportation, the Susei Eish, to take him to the next level that even as great as this person's mind is, he couldn't get to. Because there's no end to the Torah. So, even though this person gets much farther than people like us, but he also has to take public transportation from time to time. And he loves doing that. So this, the drisha, this longing to understand, this seeking out of the Dvar Hashem, brings this person to climb onto the Isis, onto the horses of fire, so that he'll be able to go beyond the limitations of his own understanding. But here it's not, otherwise he doesn't understand the pshat. So how many times it happened, I remember that growing up, you know, in yeshiva, that so we'd have chavrusa, and we're trying to make a learning in the Gemara, and we're arguing back and forth, and we're going, and then we're learning the Tosfos, and there's a certain question in Tosfos that we have. So we'd ask the Rebbe, and we have this kasha in Tosfos, a question on what Tosfos is saying, and he'd say, what's the kasha? And we'd ask the Kasha on Taisus, and he would say, let's go over the Gemara a little bit, and then we'll go back into Taisus. You know, and he'd be three of us there, my Chavrusa, myself, and the Rebbe, and we'd go over he'd read over the four or five lines of the Gemara, and then, like, as he's reading it, so my Chavrusa and I are looking at each other, because the reason we had a big problem with Taisus is because we didn't get the Gemara. We didn't understand the Gemara properly. Of course, we were so excited to get to the Taisus that why pay attention to something as insignificant as the Gemara, because we have the Tosfos to look forward to. So we just moved ahead to Tosfos, and we didn't understand. We had a kasha on Tosfos. Tosfos is a problem. And then the Rabbi just read the Gemara with us. When he was reading the Gemara, he just typed the Gemara. He said the Gemara, and he translated the Gemara and explained the Gemara. Very simple. And then Tosfos was beautiful. And then he went back to Tosfos, and of course Tosfos was clear. But we didn't know the Gemara. So you're running from the Gemara to a Taisus without knowing the Gemara. So you start with the Taisus and you start to open up a bunch of swarm on your table and you don't know what the Gemara is talking about. So the ability of a person to comprehend, he says that to go a lirkei v'mokim she'yev shalovah shama aydei kayach atzmai, each person has a different kayach. Even when it comes to the pshat, that we thought we understood the pshat. We thought that we understood the simple pshat in the Gemara. But then when you hear the pshat from the Talmud Chacham, so then you realize that there's so much more to the pshat. Each person is moving along in this journey at his own pace. But what Rav Kook is telling us, and it's not Rav Kook's chiddush, he's just saying over in his own amazing way, what the Tikkun is telling us, that the Susei Eish in an Asma Beraisa, that the letters, the Oisius of the Torah, are horses of fire. Now, this would take us the rest of our lives to understand properly. I would even say properly, we'd have to get onto a lot of horses to understand what it means to get onto the horse.
Horsepower.
Right, it's still called horsepower.
Horsepower.
Right. So, we don't have the time, and we want to move through the Sefer a little bit. So, we'll try to spend a little bit of time. Kodem Kol, the piece that you have from the Tzemach Tzedek Susa Genaleinu, begins on the bottom right side. The Torahs of the Tzemach Tzedek is a yam, is an ocean, mamish an ocean. And you feel that just the Tzemach Tzedek's writings alone are without end. Thousands and thousands and thousands of pages. And the Olam over there, years ago, tried to make some Seder to help us, and they put together the Sefer HaLikutim. The Likutim is I have it at home, and it must be around 20 volumes or so, where they try to put in the order of Aleph Beis parts of the Tzemach Tzedek Torahs. So there's an entire volume, more than one volume, there are a few volumes just on the Oisius of the Aleph Beis. Just on the Oisius. So in the Likutim over here, on the bottom, and we'll try on our level just to get, he talks here about the Susei Eish, so we'll try to understand an Almadrega. Evan, you see on the bottom right side? Evan, hu b'chinas daimen. Over the years, these concepts have been brought up here and there. Evan, hu b'chinas daimen. A stone. Thank you. A stone is, of course, inanimate. Daimen. It itself seems to us to be lifeless. Evan, hu b'chinas daimen. Shu b'china tachtoinish, v'dal b'chinas eish ruach mayim ofer, v'doimim tzameach chai medaber. It's another thing that he uses a lot of Rosh Hashanah. The stone comes from that world, which is the lowest of reality. The four general divisions of the physical world, eish ruach mayim ofer, arma, Eish, fire, wind, water, and earth. And Doimein, another four ways how all of reality is divided, is Doimein inanimate, Sameach, plants, Chai, all living creatures, and Medaber, human beings who speak. So, Evan is the lowest stone. It comes from daimen, from inanimate. It comes from the element of ofar, of earth, which is the lowest. Shebechinas daimen v'ofar hu hayoyse tachtoin ulamata b'madrega. This is the lowest of all madregas. The kach bechinas malchus, and by the spheres to which all exists, all was created and all exists, so everybody knows that moving from the highest down to the lowest, all the way from Kesod and down through Chochma Bina Das, Chesed Gvur Tifes Netzach Hod Yesod, Malchus is this world. The lowest, final stop is Malchus, Malchus, Sheva Malchus. In the Olam HaAsiyah, in this physical world, the lowest level, the level of this world is Malchus. Of the spheres, that's the lowest of the spheres. And of course, in each world, in each level of the four worlds, there's a Pchin of Malchus. And there's also Chesed Shem Malchus, Tefes Shem Malchus, and so on. But Malchus is always, in each category, Malchus is always the bottom, the end. V'chem is Malchus, Yoyse, Tachtan, we call her Yud spheres. We call her Esa spheres. V'leis lo migamo, klum, and therefore, Malchus has nothing of her own. Nothing of her own. Only what she receives from the higher spheres. It's the of Kabbalah of Malchus Shemayim, of David HaMelech, what that means, Malchus. Like David HaMelech, and the Kaloisi Oid Mizois, the David HaMelech, the Bittul of David HaMelech, Malchus, I only have what I can receive from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The moon is Malchus. Those who learned the first time, Likutei Moran, spent a lot of time on that and remember that. And that's the Inyan of the Nun Kfufa, and to be Makabel, and Kabbalah also Malchus Shemayim. The moon that has only the light of the sun. So Malchus receives its light, its energy, from the spheres that are above it. And that exists, of course, that's in the world, in the universe, and each and every one of us. It doesn't have anything of its own. Only what it receives. Shamalchus, Hibchinis Oisius, Devar Hashem. And Malchus is revealed, this Midah of Malchus is revealed through the Isis, through the letters of the Aleph Beis, through the Isis of Torah. Bechinas Isis Devar Hashem, the letters of Hashem's words. Baha Isis Nikrois Avon. In the Sefer Yetzira, in the Book of Creation, that was from the beginning of time and was revealed to Avraham Avinu and passed along to a small elite group through the generations. And now we have it, but we don't know what to do with it. But Mishem, we will. So in the Sefer Yetzira, the Isis are referred to as Avonim. Avonim. It even begins, Aleph Beis. The word Evan is Aleph Beis. With the Nun, that is also Malchus. But we're not going to go through that right now. But the Isis are called Avonim. Stones. Shtei Avonim Bainus. And the Sefer Yetzira says, you put two stones together, you can make a word. Word in Lashon HaKodesh with two letters. Im, Av, whatever. So you build words. And then you put the words together, and the Sefer Yetzira goes, you could build buildings and towns and villages and towns and cities and so on. Letters become words, words become, go into sentences, sentences become paragraphs, paragraphs become complete Torahs and so on. And all of this is the way that the infrastructure and the entire beautiful building of Torah, which is the root of all existence, is built. And through the building of Torah, through the Avonim, the Isis of Torah, all of creation is regenerated from moment to moment through Jews learning Torah. And if Jews wouldn't learn Torah, the world would not be able to be built. Al tikri banayich, ela boinayich. Boinayich. Tamir Chacham are working in construction. The construction of putting together letters into words, And through doing that, the world is being built every moment, and all worlds are being built and constructed through the Isis of the Bainim, the builders of Tyre, by putting the letters together. So the Isis are called Avanim. The Isis Nikroim Avanim, Shtei Avanim Banisuchu, Ki Isis Hem Gam Kein Madrega Tachtaina. Because the Isis are the lowest level of Tyre. You look at the Isis and you begin with a little child, Aleph Beis. And even the little child understands that this is an Aleph, this is a Beis. So that's the entire, everybody would say, even though I never had the seichel to learn, you know, fushas, to learn the garment oilus, but bo Hashem, Aleph Beis, I understood. And Aleph Beis, I understand. So the letters of the Isis of the Aleph Beis are the Madrega Tachtana, the lowest level of Torah. Low here doesn't mean anything bad, it just means reality. That's what it is. It's the building blocks, like they say in English. The stones. So you understand, you look at a beautiful, magnificent building, and you look at the Beis HaMikdash, and like Chazal say, when they were building the Beis HaMikdash, that there was a stone that was needed, that the whole Beis HaMikdash should be able to be a Beis HaMikdash, and Eben Masa Abayim, Haistar Resh people. And nobody knew where it was. They threw it into some garbage heap, just like David HaMelech was thrown into the garbage. Because the Midas HaMalchus, that Bechin of Malchus, oftentimes is not taken seriously by the world. It's not chosh. David HaMelech was Eben Masa Abayim, Haistar Resh Pinim, Chazal say in that pasuk. When Shmuel Novi came to the house, and the other brothers were all lined up, because each one was going to be king. And it wasn't right, it wasn't true. Each share cotton, there's one, the young one, he's out in the field, they didn't even bring him in for the interview. Because now it's not Shaykh, it should be David HaMelech, Malchus, Eben Masu Habayim. And Chazal say that when Shmuel Navi said, yeah, you have a younger one, bring him in. So when they brought David in, and the oil, with the other brothers, the oil, he would pour it over, but the oil wouldn't go, it would come back. And by David HaMelech, the oil was flowing, so that's when the brothers said, Eben Masu Habayim Haistar Hashpina, and he said, Hineflos Beineinu. This is a wonder in our eyes. We never, ever, ever thought it could be him. It's a wonder in our eyes. We never imagined that it was him. That's Malchus. So the same thing with the Isis of the Aleph Beis. Eben Masu Habayim. You look at a beautiful building, and you see the whole thing, you say, oh, this is a very, very magnificent thing, and each particular stone, especially the Eben HaPina that it began with, who thinks about it? That's what it says, Eben Masu Habayim. The builders, Eben Masu Habayim, they threw into the garbage. Chazal say that the Shamir used to cut the stones, whatever. And there was one that didn't fit right into the Beis HaMikdash, didn't fit. Chazal say, it didn't fit in. So the builders threw it into... Because everything else fit, it was a miracle, right? It was a nice, how everything was fitting. This one, the Shamir, that worm, it cut this stone. This guy, it didn't go. So they threw it into the garbage pile. They threw it into the, what's those big green things they have? Dumpster. Yeah, they threw it into the dumpster. It's not part of the Beis HaMikdash. It was a mistake. The Shamir was off today. A little bit. Didn't go. So then Chazal said, when it came time for the Beis HaMikdash to be finished, it came to the last final stone, and nothing that they had, nothing was working. They couldn't finish the Beis HaMikdash. And the Shamir was done. They couldn't finish the Beis HaMikdash. So just paraphrasing what the Chazal say, that somebody said, oh, remember when we, way back, we had this funny stone that didn't fit anywhere? Maybe that's it. Maybe that's it. Maybe. That can't be it. Eben Masu Habayim. It was the binding, the builder's ma'asu. It wasn't mean to be ma'asu. They were disgusted with it. They were frustrated. It didn't fit. Evan ma'asu abayinim. So they took it out. They took it out, and that was it. And they went, and the base, and that was the Evan ma'asu abayinim. Ha'isal ha'reish pina became the cornerstone. In other words, that was the completion of the base of Mikdash. I was just reading in the Torah from the Tzaddik that he said he remembered that when he was in Cheder, the Tzaddik said that when he was in Cheder, he had one particular Rebbe that was unusually embittered. He was a very, very bitter and angry person, this Rebbe. And it was very tense being with this Rebbe. And there was one guy in the class that was a big troublemaker in Chayim, that was making more trouble than the other boys. And the Tzaddik wrote in the Sefer, in this Maimer, he said that he remembers, it was a long time ago, he remembers that the Rebbe finally had it with that guy. And the Rebbe turned to this boy, and he said to this boy, I'm a Malamed my whole life. I'm a Malamed my whole life. He says, I'm a Maven. And I promise you, you're never going to be anything. He says, you can trust me. He says, I promise you that you're not going to be anything. It's not gornished. You are a gornished, and you're going to be nothing. And the Tzaddik wrote this, said he remembered, like, you know, that was a pretty strong thing, even in that time, to hear such, you know, say it out like that. You know, you could see it sometimes in your Rebbe's face when he looked at you, but to speak it out like that, he said, this garnish, nothing is going to come from you. So the Tzaddik writes in the Maimer, he says, this is already 40 years or something ago. He said, in the meantime, he says, this Bacher is one of the biggest Balei Hara, one of the biggest poskim in the world. And he said, and the Malamed is a shtarke Amaretz. He always was. He was a big Amaretz back then, and he's an Amaretz now. He's an old Amaretz. And he was talking about this inyan of David HaMelech. Now, but David HaMelech, what's that gornish? Evan Masa Abayinim. And from there, Davke, is Ha'isal HaReish Pina. Comes the whole Malchus of Mashiach comes from David HaMelech. So what the Tzemach Tzedek is saying is that we know that the Isis, the letters of the Aleph Beis, are the lowest Madrega. Aleph Beis Gimel, it's that gornish. So the Isis are this Bechina of Malchus. They're called Avonim, stones. And they're not taken so seriously by people, because that's the first thing when you're a child. You learn the Aleph Beis. Ki Isis him gam ke madrege tachtan ve Bechina is doimem. The letters themselves are doimem. They're inanimate. Letters themselves don't have any life. They seem to have to be lifeless. Only when you put a comet onto the Aleph. So first you learn the Aleph. You learn Aleph. And then they teach you Aleph, comets Aleph. Oh. Right? So the comets Aleph is oh. So now the Aleph comes to life. Oh. Ah. Eh. It comes to life. The letter itself can't move anywhere. Without Oisius. Without, not Oisius. Without Nekudas. Without Nekudas, the Oisius can't go anywhere. You see a base. You can't pronounce it. Because it doesn't have Nekudas. Of course, it might have Nekudas. Just when you're little, you don't know how to read without Nekudas. So when you're just starting to learn Hebrew, you don't know how to read without Nekudas. But without Nekudas, it doesn't seem to be alive. An Evan is a stone. It's a diamond. It doesn't have life. It sits there like that. So he says, "V'heim b'chinas daimem, v'ak ha'seichel v'ahava hu pnimis b'chias la'isius." When a person invests his mind and his love of Torah and his love of Hashem into the letters, then they become alive. They begin to jump and to dance and to move when he invests into the isius with the seichel. Rabbi Nachman spoke about the meaning of Nekudais HaKesef. He says in Sheir Shirim, points of silver. He says Nekudais HaKesef means that the vowels of the Aleph Beis are Nekudais of Kisufim, of longing. Kesef is silver, it also means Kisufim. Nekudais HaKesef. Why is the vowel called a vowel of longing? Because it's through that longing of the comments on the Pasach, the Segel and the Shva, is through that longing to help to move the ice to go to not just to move, but to infuse into the Aleph energy to go weiter, to move. That it could be a Sus Eish that comes from the Nekudas. The Nekudas is a very big thing. We don't see it in the Sefer Torah. The Nekudas are all there. But that's what the Nekudas do. Cheshek, Ahava, Seichel. It all comes from the Nekudas. That's the Pnimis Nechias Laisis. That's what gives life to the letters. Shekfi Sheyach Beitza Seichel. Right? To the degree that your mind wants, and to the degree that you love Torah. So you have two people, they sit with the same piece of Torah. One person looks at it, doesn't go anywhere. Can't go anywhere. So you say, what's the matter? You understand? No, the Gemara doesn't make any sense, like people say. The Gemara doesn't make sense. I don't know what happened to Rashi. I heard he was supposed to be very, very good, but I don't know. This Rashi isn't good, isn't clear. So then another person who might have the same intellect, level of seichel, sits down with the same Gemara, but what? But he loves Torah. And he davens and he puts his seichel mamish into it. And then what happens? An amazing thing. The Isis, the letters, become alive. Now here we were talking about the Susa Eish that take you someplace. And here we're talking about how the person himself, through his trying to learn and his love of learning, gives a chiyus into the Isis. Shekfi Sheyach Batzaseich V'amida Kain and Kain, I guess, means you mean to be Toyain? Okay, could be. La'aisiyas U'medaber behem. So the person, then the Isis, and he speaks in Isis. For Isis, Atzman, Leis, Lohan, Veloi, Klum, Lichias, Ana. The Isis themselves are stones. Evan, Avonim, Malchus. Only it's waiting to receive light. Now how this becomes Susayesh is what we're going to learn. But they're waiting to receive light. They're waiting to receive life. And if you talk in learning, Vidibartabam, you talk in it, and you think about it, and you put your karchas into it, then the inanimate becomes alive. Ki heim b'chinas daimen, k'may avana. K'may shir kasavti gam kin b'mokam acher, as I've written in another place, shahamidis nekroim, or nekrois, tzaymeach. When it comes to our midas, not talking about, we're talking about, let's say, chesed, gevura, right? The midas. So that's called already tzemeach. That's called a plant. We feel that in our midas. The anger grows. Happiness subsides. Happiness grows. The sadness gets smaller. But tzemeach, the midas are called tzemeach, like a plant that grows. Still limited, but grows. She's pilus yesh but smicha. When a person is excited, there's smicha. There's smicha. With that excitement, there's smicha. That's why the plant is not the letters are just sitting there, inanimate. Midas, that's malchus. The midas, chesed with or so on, those are called plants. But there's already emotions, his pilus. The gidl and growth, shemetchila mispoil ma'at, then in the beginning there's a little bit of his pilus, V'achakach miskadelos ha'espailus. And then the espailus, the excitement, the enthusiasm, the excitement, whatever, it begins to grow. Aval ha'oisis k'mo yishe yotsu me'ateh, kach nishar m'lo. But the letters are letters. The aleph is an aleph. The base is a base. V'lo shayach lo mishim is gadlum. They don't grow. It's the same letter. L'kach, therefore, nikrois doimein. Therefore, the letters are called doimein. V'alo amad David evin masov an vayis l'resh pina. So, the Zeshem will continue. I have to be in appointment somewhere. So we'll continue here from evin masov an vayis l'resh pina.